Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out the new PropSwap.com and use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. And next, we're brought to you by PrizePix. PrizePix is daily fantasy sports simplified. Head on over to PrizePix.com and use promo code SGP for a 100% instant deposit match of up to $100. And next, we're brought to you by SoBet. Sign up to bet against your friends and join the social betting revolution at SoBet.io. That's SoBet.io. And finally, we're brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that allows you to sync your fantasy football league and bet on head-to-head matchups. Download the app today or just head on over to BetterFantasy.com/SGPN. That's BETTOR Fantasy.com/SGPN. And while you're downloading apps, don't forget to download the SGPN app because it's your home for all of our free picks, podcasts, and oh so much more. Download the SGPN app wherever it is you download apps.
Hi-yo, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Made it up to episode 93. Well, dedicated to 1993, a great year to start university. That can't be right, though. There's no way someone is old enough to start university when his associate co-host was only 4 years old. That can't be right. So I'm going to scratch that. Let's dedicate this to all you Americans celebrating Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. And I'm thankful that you're listening to us, I guess is what I'm thankful for. But we had our Thanksgiving in Canada, the proper month, which is October. So anyhow, enjoy your turkey and shooting guns and whatever else you guys do. Watch football. Football, that's what you do, football. But we're not talking about that. Who knows what we're talking about today? This is one of those odd weeks where the UFC does not have an event. Actually, no one of note has an event. I tried to wrangle my co-host into talking about 1FC and Ryzen, but he refused. So
it's so bad this week.
It gets so bad this week. So we're going to have fun, though, because Superfan Jong says he's looking forward to the podcast today. So I don't know what he's expecting, but we should have had him on. Maybe he has ideas. He's given us a few ideas, as he usually does. But let's kick things off. Thank you once again for listening. And if you aren't subscribed yet, please subscribe to the MMA Gambling Podcast, our direct feed. Then you can get us in your ear holes or wherever you stick your podcasts. You can get it earlier than the SGPN feed. And that is, as we've said in the past, that is an important thing because betting lines seem to change very, very quickly after we drop a podcast. It's probably coincidental, but hey, who knows? Maybe we're big shots. Who knows? We are top 50 in Spain now, so who knows? You're going to want to get on our main feed so you can get the podcast right away. All right, now to the associate co-host of note, who was 4 years old when someone started university. What else can I tell you about him? He's an American, so happy Thanksgiving to him. His son pretends to do podcasts with me, which is cute. and he actually knows my name. Well, my associate co-host goes through a bunch of names before he gets to the correct name for me. I am GC Jeff Fox, in case I didn't mention that before. We call this guy the Danimal. I called him Dano last week. You may know him as Gumby. His name is Daniel Vreeland. Hello.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, man? Any did your son do anything else cute involving me?
He does cute things every day, but none involving you since we last spoke.
Okay.
You know, he occasionally busts out. I know I mentioned this to you via email, but he occasionally busts out a pretty good Bruce Buffer impression.
Really?
Although he doesn't say any words in the like full introduction of a fictional fighter until he gets to the very last word, and then it's either like pointing at a stuffed animal that he has a name for, or pointing at me, and then he says "daddy" or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's pretty routine sounding. It sounds the same every time, but they aren't words.
Is he nice to his fans? Because I've heard stories about the real Bruce Buffer.
Yeah, I don't mind sharing this one on the air.
Do it. All right, let's do it.
So Bruce Buffer was a dick to me one time. So yeah, before I was like really a media member, I think I had probably started writing for you like maybe a tiny bit, maybe like I was writing like an article or two for you once in a while, but not very much. So I was like casually writing, making no money, but like thought I wanted to get into MMA writing. And the Fan Expo came to Boston, Massachusetts, which is a little ways away from me, but close enough for me to travel. I went to my first live UFC event then, which was BJ Penn versus Frankie Edgar II. And while I was at the Fan Expo, you like meet a whole bunch of fighters, and sometimes they're like, you know, very friendly, and sometimes they're not very friendly, and some are willing to stop and take pictures with you. Other ones, you know, like kind of don't want to be as bothered all that much unless they're like in front of a sponsored table, and then they're willing to take pictures with you. And, you know, like, so I met a whole bunch of fighters and stuff. Me and my brother go walking by Bruce Buffer, and we didn't want a picture with Bruce Buffer. You know, he's a ring announcer. That wasn't exciting to me. You know, I had just met, I'd met Randy Couture that day, and I'd met Roy Nelson, who I used to be a huge fan of, and, you know, some of my other WEC idols that I was a big fan of at the time. I met Clay Guida, which was cool, and especially when you're a fan. Now I've interviewed most of these guys that I've mentioned. So, you know, I walked by Bruce Buffer, and we didn't even want a picture with him. We didn't want to bother him or anything, and we just said, "Hey, Bruce Buffer," and just like a casual point like that. And he said, "Not now, kids. I'm fucking busy." Which, first of all, is funny on about seven different terms, because, like, you're Bruce Buffer at a Fan Expo. I know you're busy. Like, it's your job to be here, most likely. And second of all, we were, like, 22 and 23 or something like that in terms of age. So, like, we weren't kids. Like, it wasn't like we were, like, 10-year-olds or something like that. But, yeah, like, didn't even want to do anything except for maybe wave at him, and he was very much not having it. So, yeah, I've always been a big Joe Martinez fan.
He must have known you weren't going to drop $50 on a photo and autograph on him.
Yeah.
So he did not have time for you.
Yeah, that's sort of the vibe he gave me. I haven't had too many people in the MMA world give me like a give me a bad vibe, but he's one of the few that did.
No, yeah, there's not many that do. Did Anthony Rocco Martin ever give you a bad vibe?
Ooh, God, I knew you were going to bring
him, right?
I knew you were going to bring up Anthony Rocco Martin. Yeah, I've actually interviewed him like two or three times.
He seemed like a good dude, funny guy.
I will tell you, I did the most awkward thing I've ever done interviewing him, which I guess I feel okay revealing now, seeing as he Piana Casino Floor. Is that what I'm reading?
Casino Hallway. So maybe that's better.
And then yeah, I guess better than the floor.
And then I think he throw punched a security guard, which is so basically it was what Conor McGregor calls Tuesday. But anyhow,
his mugshot didn't look good. He looks like he's not doing well.
No, he doesn't. And I don't like people were. I saw people were making comments like, "Oh, you're supposed to beat up your fiance if you're at a casino." But I'm like, you guys must not have realized who he was dating. I don't think he is anymore. But Kayla Harrison. He's not punching her.
So that's the awkward thing. I said the most awkward moment of me interviewing anybody ever was when I interviewed Anthony Martin, and I talked to him for like 10 to 15 minutes, you know, standard length of an interview. And, you know, we went over the questions about, like, whoever he was fighting at the time. And then I asked him a few questions about what it was like for him to be dating Kayla Harrison, who was getting all this publicity, and obviously she had started MMA after him, and, you know, which of you two is more competitive, or, you know, like, those just general, like, when they're a super couple in the MMA world questions that you throw in there. You know, like you'd ask the same questions if you were interviewing Nina Nunes, or you'd ask those same questions if you were interviewing, you know, Tisha Torres or something like that about, you know, Raquel Pennington or Amanda Nunes. So I asked him those questions. Interview ended perfectly nice. Posted the interview, you know, wrote up a little blurb, you know, got up there, and I did a Twitter post being like, he answered some really nice questions about, you know, him and Kayla. And somebody DM'd me. I wish I could remember who the hell it was, but props, if you're listening by some chance, I'll give you your props after the fact.
Everyone's listening, Dan.
But, listens. Yeah, everybody listens. But somebody DM'd me, like, hey, you know, they broke up like 2 weeks ago. He's kept it kind of hush hush, but they are no longer together. She like wiped him off of her Instagram. He hasn't done the same with her or something like that. And so I frantically open up Instagram and like scanning through to see a picture of him on hers. And sure enough, she had like gotten rid of any picture of them together. I like opened his up, which I had checked beforehand because I, you know, I do my background research before I do an interview. And of course, there's still some pictures up. So I, you know, like I was like, oh shit. And like, so he just like awkwardly answered questions, which I mean, I guess if he didn't want to talk about it, that's the way to handle it. But I felt like such an asshole afterwards. Because, like, I mean, there's no way I could know, but, like, that can't possibly feel good. So, yeah, it's my most awkward moment interviewing ever.
And you are an asshole, so it's perfect. That
yeah,
you
there you
that
go.
Way, finally? Perfect.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's pretty much what you're going to get. This, there's some good stories right away. He's kind of – he's like when you – told the story about your son, it reminds me, like, just like his dad. Like, you said, like, he said to his mom, I'm talking MMA with Jeff, and then he babbled for, like, 3 minutes incoherently, and no one else spoke. And, like, wow, that's – apple doesn't fall far from the tree, does it?
No, he's got it now. he's pretty much doing what I do.
Yeah, he can step in at any point. All right, we will – I guess we – I was going to say we will talk MMA, but we just did talk MMA, actually. They were MMA-adjacent stories. Superfan John wants to know, going back to last podcast, do you still have your VHS tapes that you – the 4 VHS tapes that you had in university?
Oh, that's a great question. Also, I love the way you say at university because that's
– at university?
It's most like the most Canadian sounding thing.
Really?
Yeah. Americans say like when I was in college.
Oh, really? Well, we call it university, too. We don't – college is community college here. University
it's
funny the main thing.
Because even if you're at a university, you say when I was in college. You don't say in university. University is like a very I think Canadian/European thing to say. We say in college whether you're going to the local JUCO or you're going to, like, you know, Boston College or you're going to UMass. You'd say in college when I was in college. I actually went to a college, but it was a – so we have – you don't have colleges up there that are not community colleges?
They're no. They're basically universities or community colleges basically is what they are. And oh, totally so, separate, like different sports
so we,
leagues and all that
so
stuff.
We have, like community colleges, but then we have colleges, which I think the only distinction between like colleges and universities is that like universities have like law schools and med schools built into them, where colleges are still 4-year degrees, but not necessarily you can't get those specific ones.
Yeah, you don't get degrees at colleges here. I think you get diplomas or whatever, but you don't get degrees. So
weird. Yeah, and we have those types of community colleges too, but we don't have they don't play in the same leagues as like, but like Boston College plays in the same conferences like other ACC schools like Duke University. Yeah. So we get universities and colleges playing against each other. Weird. Yep. So you learn something new every day. I believe they are now because I've moved at least twice since I was living in that apartment.
At college?
Those were both at college and my first apartment right after college. As a matter of fact, most of the watches were my first apartment after college. Because I don't think I had any college roommates who would have tolerated me watching those 4 VHSs that many times. But when I had my apartment afterwards, they were there for a while. And then I think when I moved a bunch of the stuff that I don't use anymore into my parents' basement so that I did not have to continue to travel with them. My mom keeps dumping stuff that she has in my basement off at my house. She doesn't have to deal with it anymore. I'm at that age now where she's not keeping anything that she thinks is cute or anything like that. She just dumps it at my house. I'm literally looking at two boxes right now that have, like, you know, like weird albums of baseball cards and, like, plaques with my name on them from, like, winning, like, soccer championships when I was, like, 14. So, like, she's getting rid of everything. One of these boxes might have those four VHSs, but they exist somewhere.
I'm sure John would pay you big bucks for it if you autographed him, for sure.
I guarantee it. I think I would part with just about all of them except for Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That one,
of course.
That one got me through. So, I think you could have the rest of them.
Oh, exciting! So that was one of our hard-hitting questions that we got. I've got my wife asked a question a while back, and we haven't had a dead week to talk about it. It was a two-part question. First part was, is Dan your friend? Second part is, does he actually like you?
Yes.
Tells you a lot about me and my relationship, but yeah, that they were her questions.
Yeah, I assume in order to talk to somebody for 2 hours a week nonstop we're moving in on a year, by the way.
Yeah.
I think next month is a year we've been doing this podcast. I think in order to talk to somebody for 2 hours a week nonstop for a year, I think you would have to be their friend. Not to mention, like, we've now known each other, at least internet known each other, for 10 years. Nonstop. I'd say yes to friends, and definitely yes to like you. I would not be able to do a podcast with somebody who I detest.
You sure?
Set a stab at Shockwave.
I'm joking.
I don't listen anyway. I don't think he listens to our podcast that we do. to be fair, like, I don't re-listen to this one either. It makes me uncomfortable to hear my own voice. I think the answers are yes to both of those. So your wife can rest easy knowing that you have a friend. I also think
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if she wanted me to have one or not, but I can throw it in her face. So. so next time they're like, you don't even have any friends, I can be like, oh yeah. Next time my son pulls that out, I'll be like, oh,
not your friend. He's my friend.
Exactly. His kid even pretends to play with me sometimes. So it's cool.
There you go.
All right, well, we have some real topics that we actually may – I think people probably enjoy this more than our real topics, but who knows? At least John does, that's for sure. The other question was, they wanted what would happen if you and I fought, and they're like – one of my Canadian brethren, like, put me at, like, minus 5,000. Like, you've forgot some things here. Dan's almost as big as me. He's – 15 years younger, and he's got, like, almost a brown belt, and I don't fight, so I'm pretty sure you can get the plus money on Gumby and go right ahead. Grab it.
Yeah, I've done jiu-jitsu for 10 and a half years, almost 11 years now. Actually, no, 11, almost 12 years now. And I've, like, competed – right? I used to compete regularly, but I don't anymore. But, yeah, like, you said you're – what are you, 6'5", 6'6"?
Yeah, 6'6", yeah.
Yeah, so you got three inches of height on me. So it's not even a huge size discrepancy. And like you said, when we're breaking down fights, you always pick the fighter who's 15 years younger.
Exactly, man, exactly. But like I said, my only hope would be, like, you're for some reason nice. Like you let me mislabel one of your podcasts for a whole year almost and correct me. So I'm thinking, like, you may take it easy on me and then I can, like, cheap shot you or something.
The thing about jiu-jitsu, which is brilliant about it, is the gentle art, is I could just Damian Maya you. Like,
true.
Damian Maya,
no one gets hurt.
He doesn't even punch anybody, nobody gets hurt, and then he wins.
Very, very true.
Yeah, that's kind of my style anyway.
there you go, yeah. So if you can get some money on Dan, go right ahead. But I think we'd be better suited for, like, maybe a tag team, like they do in Europe or Russia or wherever they have those crazy 2-on-2 fights. Do you watch that fight circus thing at all?
Oh, no. I know.
It's madness. I see clips of it.
It got covered by a guy who I do some work on work with on another site, or at least we both work for the same other site. So he's in my feed all the time. And I saw he was there at the event and taking pictures and, like, yeah, it was media for it. I think there were three media people total, and he was one of them. So, like, some of the stuff he showed was crazy. My favorite was the Siamese twin Muay Thai fight, which they had to wear the same shirt and could only use one of their hands, which was, man, dude, that is some weird stuff. I know I get what they're doing, and hey, if there's an audience for it, it's not me, but I'm happy for them.
And, like, Siamese twin's not even the correct term anymore, people. They're so, like, behind the times. And
the conjoined
twins. Conjoined twins, I know, but they didn't call it that. And then, what, Will Chope was in the main event, two against one. Did you see that, the last one?
He's done that two or three times, right?
It was, like, two little, like...
For a quick moment, right?
Yeah, he fought two little, like, kickboxing type guys, and he just ended up choking the one guy out immediately. So, but yeah, that's...
One-on-one? Was it, like, an elimination style, or after he got...
No, it was just whoever. And then I saw one where guys were in opposite corners. They had to put their head on baseball bat and spin around for about a minute.
Oh, yeah.
And then they had to fight.
Did they?
Yeah. Yeah, and then they had to fight being dizzy. So, yeah, it's. I wonder if you can bet on that stuff is where I'm getting at.
I can't imagine. Also, I looked up while we were just talking Will Chope's UFC record. He had one fight in the UFC. Did you know that?
I thought he was running longer.
He went 0-1 and was released. He lost to Max Holloway.
Who? Well, that's why I know. That's why I know Will Chope's name.
Yeah, he fought
Max. Why do I know that guy?
He fought Max Holloway. Didn't look good, and they were like, "Oh, this guy can't be anything."
Was that Holloway's debut or not?
Hang on.
It may have been.
To the Google. Max Blessed Holloway.
It might have been.
That was a long time ago. Yeah. You mean Jerome Holloway?
Whatever happened to him?
Let's see. No, Max Holloway's debut came against Dustin Poirier.
Oh, right. Yeah. Whatever happened to those guys?
Which is wild. And then he beat Pat Schilling, Justin Lawrence, Leonard Garcia, then he fought Dennis Bermudez and Conor McGregor, and then fought Will Chope.
Who? Bunch of nobodies.
I was at the Conor McGregor fight.
Really?
Yeah.
Fantastic. That's before he was.
Although I told my brother that wait until you see this amazing kickboxer here. He's about to torch this Max Holloway kid. Yeah. And I don't know if you remember that fight. He blew his knee out in the first round and actually out-wrestled Max Holloway for 15 minutes. Real boring. But, my brother called me a liar.
But hey, did you hear it? Connor's coming back, and he's fighting for the lightweight belt, he says.
That's what he says.
And who's to say that wouldn't happen, too? And Dustin Poirier, if he wins the lightweight belt, he's moving up to welterweight. Boy, it's great. Lightweight's going to be a mess again, apparently.
I don't know that that would happen. I think if he wins, I think he will fight. I think he'll fight Gaethje.
Yeah,
I think they'll sweeten the deal and let him fight Gaethje.
Yep, that's true. All right, let me tell you about a couple of our sponsors, and maybe we'll get into a couple of our planned segments, or we can just talk, which is fine also. WynnBET, ready to win money and boost your odds. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in all your favorite teams, players, sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, hooray. WNBA, college football, and more. They got bonuses that Dan always gives you winners for. New users can bet $1 and win $100 in any sport, plus you, capital Y, which means you, can get up to $1,500 as a free bet on WynnBET if you make a first deposit of $20 or more. Whatever your first wager is, WynnBET will match it 200%. So if you're not good at math, that would be a $100 bet. They'll give you $200 free. Pretty nice. Max wager for the matching thing is $750, so they'll give you $1,500. Now, did your last – I'm trying to think who you –
It did
the
not.
Bulls again.
It went very badly. Like, very
– Was it the Bulls again? Yeah.
I took the Bulls to beat the Pacers, and the Pacers, looked like world beaters for a minute.
Yeah, I would just shy away from any bets involving the Pacers because they're really – it's
what
hard
are they
to tell
doing?
What they are.
I don't know what they are. So instead of that, I'm going to take – the Memphis Grizzlies at home against Toronto on Friday. And the reason I like Memphis in that one is, hang on a second. Did I get that matchup right? No, I got their Wednesday matchup. Sorry. I meant to pick them against the Hawks on Friday, rather. They're only 2-point favorites at home. But they've looked pretty good as of late. And they're going to get to beat up the Rockets this week. So, since they beat up the Rockets, they'll pretty much be all nice and rested, and ready to beat the hell out of the Hawks on Friday.
There you go. Use your free money from WinBet on that right there. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WinBet. For boosted parlays to live in-game odds in every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit WYNNbet.com. And while you're on the interwebs, make sure you also go over to PropSwap, because we're brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. PropSwap always has the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a bet you like but think the price is too high, submit a bid for a price you think is fair, then buy it. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit and PropSwap will double it up to $500. Double the cash means double the odds. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. Every ticket purchased on PropSwap can be resold at any time, so your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. Thousands of bettors across the country are shopping for tickets on PropSwap every day. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. All right. Any other – I don't think there's any other really news items. Matt Brown's got COVID, even though it's over in the States. He got it somehow, so he's out of his fight.
Since we started recording, speaking of arrests, Luis Violent Bob Ross Pena was arrested again.
Oh, no.
Yeah, got announced. Yeah. I was looking for details on Anthony Rocco Martin, and his popped up, and I was like, oh, that's an old article, and it wasn't. It was posted like 30 seconds before I clicked on it, and I was like, oh, wow. That's three in a row for him, which –
What for now?
Hang on. I think it was battery again. I don't know if it was domestic or just assault and battery, but like at this point – I'm not even sure it matters. That's three in a row. Like, he's been arrested three times in, like, a month.
Now, what comes first with these things, do you think? Does the sport make these people, some of these people, I'm not going to say everybody, does the sport make them wild outside because their brains are getting jolted around, or does it take a wild person to get into MMA and... This is just par for the course. What do you say, Dan? Controversial takes here.
I think, Eric, this is a really tough question because, first of all, I think it's like a problem of like stuff being highlighted in the first place, right? Like we're talking about Anthony Rocco Martin and Luis Pena, neither of which are even in the UFC anymore at the highest level. Yeah. And like, you know, when you throw John Jones in there, who is one of the high profile guys. If you took a percentage of people who are in the UFC with, like, these issues and stuff like that, I almost think it would probably be the same as, like, the percentage of civilians. And again, I would have to crunch numbers and think about that. But, like, if not the number of civilians, probably the same or, like, a lower number than pro football or – I mean, pro baseball saw two or three guys get arrested this year for domestic violence and – You know, Marcell Ozuna didn't play a game after he hurt his finger because he had been out on a domestic violence arrest. So, I think it's hard to say that, like, oh, they're getting hit in the head, so this is happening. Like, it happens to an outfielder on the Braves, too. Like, that's not I think we just, you know, it's obviously what's in the headline, so we see it. But, yeah, I don't think it's disproportionate, at least as far as, like, you know, athletes are concerned.
That's true. A lot of things do not go – a lot of athletes have a lot of issues once they are done with their sport. So, and the stuff we're talking about are guys who are out of the UFC now and or the last couple guys we're talking about are guys who are out of the UFC. And it's probably not fun being out of the spotlight, not making as much money and thinking your career is over. So, anyhow, hopefully people start behaving themselves. All right, one of the topics I thought – we kind of hit on it a few weeks ago, but we've had a lot of female fighters fighting recently in headlining fights, not just fighting. Like we had Cyborg, we had Misha Tate this past week. I thought, why don't we do a list of the best female fighters of all time? Nothing official, just, you know, break it down quickly. And then see if we have any, you know, any discrepancies or anything on our list. I think number one is pretty easy. We're both going to say Amanda Nunes obviously is the greatest of all time, correct?
Yeah. I don't think there's any argument. For the people who try to discredit, you know, what she's done in comparison to, you can pick pretty much any other woman you want to compare to, or whether it be, I guess I probably shouldn't go around mentioning names as we, you know, look to construct the rest of this list, but like she beat anybody who you would consider the best ever. Like, she beat them all. She beat and knocked out all of them. She beat knocked out Cyborg. She beat knocked out Misha Tate. She beat knocked out Holly Holm. She beat Holly Holm twice, right? Am I remembering that right?
Just once.
Just once. Okay, so she beat knocked out Holly Holm once. She beat knocked out Ronda Rousey. Like, she just beat everybody who you could beat and argue is better than her. She beat Valentina Shevchenko twice. So, like, at what point in time can you point to anybody else and say, like, this person is better? I just don't think you can. So,
no.
Yeah, like, she's one and two is not close.
Yeah, she is 21-4 as a pro. She's currently the UFC Women's Bantamweight Champion. She's defended that title 5 times already. Featherweight Champion, which she's defended 2 times already. And she's just a slew of people who she's beaten. She's not lost since September 27, 2014, where she got TKO'd by Kat Zingano. She lost to Sarah Dalio. Is that how you say her name?
D-A-L-L-O.
So she could be the greatest of all time because she beat Nunes. Nunes was deducted a point for an upkick. So she lost her in 2013. She lost to Alexis Davis in 2011. In her bantamweight debut, and she lost her pro debut to Anna Maria, and that's it. So, pretty, like, you're not going to get out of the sport without a loss, so no shame in that, especially considering she was obviously not in her prime yet, since her last loss was 7 years ago. And like Dan mentioned, she's beaten everyone they put in front of her. She's beaten 2 Olympic medalists, and Sarah McMahon and Ronda Rousey. She's beaten 3 Strikeforce champions, Misha Tate, Ronda Rousey, Chris Cyborg. She's beaten 3 Invicta champs, Cyborg, Felicia Spencer, Megan Anderson. She's beaten 2 Bellator champs, Julia Budd, Chris Cyborg. It's, you know, pretty much. And she's defeated every woman who's ever held a UFC bantamweight or featherweight championship gold. She's beaten every one of those. So, like Dan said, it's not even close. And I don't think she's really – she's 33. I don't see her slowing down anytime soon.
No, I don't either. Like, I think she's going to walk away before we see her get beat again. Yeah. I truly believe that. Especially
I see no challenges for her.
Yeah, and I don't know how, like, married to the game she is and, like couldn't walk away and stuff like that. But, like, right. I mean, like, at this point in time, like, she is kind of in a position where, like, what is there? You know, what is there for her? Yeah, she's up there for me, and it's not close.
And we'll get to see her again in a few weeks, which is good, before the year closes, all things going correctly. I think second, we'll probably agree on second, Chris Cyborg.
I'm not going to.
Nope.
Really? I thought you were going to say this, and I was ready for the argument already.
Okay.
With it.
You saying Shevchenko?
It's got to be Valentina Shevchenko. Yeah,
okay.
And I'm not even a Valentina Shevchenko fan, but, like, so for me, when you're talking about the greatest ever, you have to talk about what it is they've done and what it is they've accomplished, what their resume looks like and stuff like that. And for me, like, you know, tell me – so both Chris Cyborg and Valentina Shevchenko have lost to Amanda Nunes. Yep. And you could throw the method out the window because one of them's lost to her twice by decision and one of her lost to her by knockout quick. And I don't know what your preference is there, but I don't think there's a huge difference. Both of them have also beat Holly Holm, okay? So both of them, their best win is definitely Holly Holm. What is the second best win on Cyborg's resume?
I don't have it in front of me, but I can get it in front of me. You think Shevchenko's second best is Holly Holm?
I mean, like, here's the thing. I'm use the Holly Holm example that we can just, like, take Holly Holm off the board for both of them. Because I don't even think that that's her best win is, but that's a whole other argument. But, like, if you take both of those off because they both got it, what else does Cyborg have that Valentina Shevchenko doesn't? What is on Cyborg's record? She's got wins over Leslie Smith twice. She's got wins over Tonya Evinger or Lena Landsberg or Yana Kunitskaya. You know, depending on how you feel about Julia Budd, like, I guess Julia Budd could be up there, you know, like, but, like, Marlowe's Conan, sort of, maybe, you know, that's like an 8-year-old win at this point, but, like, yeah, maybe Marlowe's Conan, she beat her twice. You know, do you want to go 11 or 12 years ago and say Gina Carano? But, like, if anybody thought Ronda Rousey was a flash in the pan, I think Gina Carano has got more exposed than Ronda Rousey even did. So, like, for me, there's just not a lot to Cyborg's resume. And, you know, like, we talked about when she went to Bellator, you know, this is going to hurt her legacy or whatever. I don't think it hurt her legacy. She's amazing. But, like, you just don't rack up the type of wins that you get in the UFC by going over to Bellator. You fight, you know, Ariane Blenko or you fight, you know, Faith Van Dune or, like, you fight women like that. Whereas here we've got Valentina Shevchenko is beating the likes of, you know, Liz Carmouche, Jessica Andrade, Joanna Jędrzejczyk. You know, like, she's pulverizing Jessica Ai. She beat the hell out of Juliana Pena. You know, Sarah Kaufman, who we talked about being, like, a low-key, you know, legend of the sport one time. You know, like, she's got wins over all of those women in, like, violently, too, right? Like, she beat the hell out of Caitlin Chookagian, who, regardless of how you feel about her, you know, giving us a kia every single time she throws a punch, she is one of the best flyweight women in the world. And I don't know that we say that about, you know, do you feel like Caitlin Chookagian at size parity would beat the hell out of Ariane Blenko? Like, I do. Like, I think she's a much better striker than her, and she's got decent jiu-jitsu skills, too. Or, you know, like, Jessica Andrade is an absolute beast and got knocked out by Valentina Shevchenko. And, again, I am the type of person who thinks that Valentina Shevchenko is not my favorite fighter to watch. I don't find her very entertaining at all. And at the same time, I think, like, you have to say she's the second best ever.
Yeah, doing all your damage in the UFC should count for something for sure. Looking at Cyborg's resume, Bellator champ, obviously, currently 3 successful title defenses, UFC women's featherweight champ, 2 successful defenses there.
How'd she win that title? Let's talk about that title for a second. How'd she win the UFC featherweight title?
I can't remember. You tell me.
I believe what happened was that somebody else won the women's featherweight championship and
didn't want to fight her.
And they were like, that's cool. We'll just, rather than being like Jermaine Durandamy, you have to fight her. Which, by the way, is a huge knock on Jermaine Durandamy at this point for me. Like I get that she tested positive for steroids once. You're going to have a tough time going through a division and not catching one or two people who have tested positive or will test for positive for steroids in the future. You know, I can go up and down the UFC's rankings right now and find somebody in every division. So, so they decided it didn't work out. Do you remember who she fought to get the title? Tonya Evinger.
Yes.
I love Tonya Evinger. I've interviewed her. She's like one of the nicest people on the planet, but like, and she's hilarious, but like, Evinger never won in the UFC, never once won a UFC fight. But fought for the title. Like, that's who Cyborg beat. And yes, she outpointed Holly Holm second, which is worth something. She beat Yana Kunitskaya after that, who was very undersized for 135 pounds. But that's it. She's got a defense against Holly Holm and Yana Kunitskaya.
Okay, so.
I like that she got that title, but, like, you know, it is what it is. Also, like, again, not to make fun of her Invicta run either, but, like, the Invicta run, with the exception of beating Marlos Conan, is not real impressive either.
Yeah. All right, so I think you got me sold. Shevchenko, number 2. Cyborg, 3rd at the very least?
Yeah, I think we could put her at 3rd. Like, okay. I would probably argue, like, I'd get into an argument about whether or not Holly Holm is started to put together enough. But the fact that she's got the head-to-head loss doesn't look good. She also did lose to Jermaine Durandamy, whether or not you agree with either that decision or anything else. Obviously, the Misha Tate loss doesn't look good in retrospect either. So, and, of course, she's got the Ronda Rousey win. But, yeah, like, I think Holly Holm is probably close to Cyborg. But, like, I would put Cyborg 3, Holm 4.
So you would put her resume above Rousey's, would you?
I think so, but only because again, like, if we're going back and looking at the names on Ronda Rousey's one, like, it felt a lot better at the time. I think
Misha Tate twice
is big and Kat Zingano's big.
Kat Zingano, Sarah McMahon was good at the time.
But yeah, but, But that's the thing is, like, when we're talking about some of the people she beat, we're not saying was, like, one of the greats. We're saying, like, was good at the time. But I guess then again, yeah. Holly Holm doesn't have a lot of those either, right? Like, all of her – like, her big win is Ronda Rousey, right? And as far as her resume goes, like, her best win outside of that is, like, maybe Raquel Pennington, who Rousey beat anyway. I mean, she beat Raquel Pennington twice. Yeah, like, maybe Ronda's record is better than Holly's, and it's weird to, like, put her at four ahead of Holly when Holly, you know, knocked her out and began the descent that we all – not we all. Like, most fans, like, write off Ronda Rousey for what happened there, which I don't think is fair. Yeah, maybe I'll let you change my list here after I change
yours,
and we'll do Shevchenko, then Cyborg, then Rousey, then
– yeah.
Then home. Probably home or
like home or then I also have on my list also have as possibly as Joanna I also have Rose. What do you think of those two?
Well, I think home. If you're gonna put one of them in there, it's got to be Rose.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
Joanna was a champ for a long time though.
Yeah, but like again, let's look at what Rose Namajunas has done in terms of her resume. Actually, you know what? The more and more I think about it, Rose might have a better resume than Ronda Rousey.
All right, because let me give you
so this is just off the top of my head. She's got wins over every women's strawweight champion that's ever existed, other than Carla Esparza.
I think you're right. Yeah,
because she beat Weili Zhang twice, Joanna Jędrzejczyk twice, and Jessica Andrade one out of two times.
Yeah.
Like, she's beaten all the champs. She's got that, like, that Amanda Nunes thing. Now, granted, she does have the loss to Jessica Andrade. She does have, like, the early career loss to Carla Esparza. But, like...
Tisha Torres.
Yeah, that was...
Kowalkiewicz.
Did she lose to her in Invicta, Tisha Torres?
Yeah, she lost... Her third fight, she lost to Tisha Torres.
But she avenged that one, too, though. So
fourth fight, she lost to Carla, and then she lost to Carolina in the UFC.
So, yeah, I think I would probably even put her in front of Rousey at this point.
Yeah, like, yeah possibly.
Probably still behind Cyborg, although probably pushing Cyborg, too.
There's still time. She's young.
She just
got the belt back.
That's the other thing, too, is, like, she could go on a run right now that would just, you know, just absolutely blow people away. If she gets the revenge over Carla Esparza... and then beat somebody like Marina Rodriguez and like, I mean, like it's all right there. Whereas, you know, Joanna did get beat by her twice and like, you know, what's Joanna's best wins other than that? Like,
well, Joanna went on a really good tear though. She, Claudia Gadelha, then Carla Esparza, Justin like Penny, Valerie Letourneau, and Claudia Gadelha, good. Carolina, she was good.
She almost lost those
Andrade,
Claudia Gadelha too though.
Yeah. But that was it. That was a very good run, but then it pretty much ended. Rose beat her twice. She beat Tisha Torres, and she lost to Shevchenko.
And Weili Zhang.
She beat Waterson, and then she lost to Weili Zhang, and then she retired, apparently, because we haven't seen her since. So.
They did take her out of the official rankings.
My goodness.
Like, I don't know that any part of, like, what I've seen from her makes me think that, like, you know, like, her really good win over Jessica Andrade by decision makes me, like, say we need to list her higher than Rose, who beat her twice. You know, like Rose has got a better resume. She beat more champs than her, including her. So,
Rose or Rousey then?
I think I'm going to go Rose. I think the ability to beat all of those champs, whereas, you know, like even if you said, you know, Rousey beating Misha Tate is impressive twice, Rose beat Joanna Jędrzejczyk, who we're talking about putting on this list twice. And then also beat Weili Zhang twice. I think that probably tips it for Rose. So, I think my top five at this point would be, Nunes, Shevchenko, Cyborg, Rose, Ronda.
Yep.
And then obviously like without, actually getting into like the fact that we completely do not talk about women's MMA before it actually started getting popular. Like shout outs to all of the like amazing pioneers who we like forget in all of this. People like Marlos Conan, who I think was just doing things at a level that nobody knew about at that time. Yeah. Like she's a fucking legend of this sport. If you haven't seen Marlowe's Conan fight, like, find some footage of her fighting when she was, like, you know, in her 20s. She was amazing. So Marlowe's Conan, also shout out to Jennifer Howe. A lot of people won't know the name Jennifer Howe. I had somebody describe her to me as, like, the Fedor of women's MMA, that she was, like, undefeated and nobody had heard of her because she was just, like, fighting on the Utah regional circuit. She's now married to Jeremy Gumby Horn, I believe.
Gumby.
Or at least dating him for an extended period of time. But she was, like, an absolute fucking killer back in the day. So
they just broke up, actually, Dan. They broke up 2 weeks ago. I just heard the news.
That's not nice. But, yeah, like, she...
How about Sarah Kaufman? Can we give a Canadian shout-out?
Yeah, and I think we did earlier in this, not in this show, like, years ago. Sarah Kaufman's record is, like, low-key amazing. I mean, like, she's not... I don't think she's, like, the same as what I'm talking about with these other two who are, like, famous. Like, would have been famous had the sport been big at the time. Like, Kaufman at least made it to that time. She fought this past weekend. Am I wrong?
She fought by my – well, not fairly close to my house, St. Catharines. So, yeah, over by Niagara Falls she fought. She fought
a Bellator last, I believe, or was in Bellator. Actually, that's a really funny story, too. Did you see what Bellator did in their rankings, like a week before that fight happened? So she fought this girl named Jessica Miele, who fought in CES a couple of times around my neck of the woods, so I know of her. And she was ranked 9th in the Bellator's ranking system. And when they went to post the rankings for the next week, she had already been booked with this fight with Sarah Kaufman for BTC, whatever that is. They didn't take her out of the rankings, but they did move her up 2 spots to number 7.
So, it's weird how that works, eh?
Yeah, I'm assuming it was, like, some sort of mathematical error in their database that, like, took them off. But, like, it was hilarious. To your point, Sarah Kaufman, you know, like, wasn't still in her prime when she made it to the UFC, but, like, back in Strikeforce, she beat Liz Carmouche and Alexis Davis. She fought
multiple times.
She knocked out Roxanne Mafari.
Yeah.
She did lose to the aforementioned Marlowe's Conan, though.
She did.
Again, don't think gets enough credit. Who also beat Sarah Kaufman and Liz Carmouche and Roxanne Mafari, back when Roxanne Mafari was a big name, and, like, a whole bunch of, like, Japanese names that you guys probably wouldn't know, like Yuki Kondo and Megumi Yabushita. Like, Megumi Yabushita is another one who kind of goes in that book of people who are absolutely amazing women's pioneers that you should look up. She's fought, like, 7,000 times, and I think now her record's atrocious because, if I'm not mistaken, she's still fighting like a maniac, or was...
That's what happens if you stick around long enough.
Yeah, she was as recently as, like, 5 years ago, despite the fact she's fought, like, 50 times. But another legend of the sport, Yabushita.
There you go. We're thankful for women's MMA. There you go. That's our contribution to that. All right, let me tell you about a couple other of our sponsors. That'll work. Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that lets you sync your fantasy football league and bet on the matchups. You can cash out for gift cards when your bets hit and even help raise money for charity along the way. They're the brand new company looking to grow their early adopter community. They got a slick app that's fun and easy to use. And one of the reasons we love to use it is that they also offer prop betting. So if you're in a state that hasn't legalized gambling yet, you can get in some prop bets on Better Fantasy. Totally free to play. Download today for iPhone and Android. Check them out. BetterFantasy.com/SGPN. That's BETTOR fantasy.com/SGPN. And Prize Picks. Have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and I know you will too. Prize Picks has the most NBA DFS prop games, has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. They also offer more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator and offers all the superstar players as well as bench players, only recording a handful of minutes each game. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. All of SGPN users that deposit and use our promo code SGP will receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. So just make sure to use our code SGP. Here's how it works. You pick 2 to 5 players and over under on their projections. And you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. And it's just you versus the projected numbers. PrizePicks also allows mixed sport entries. So you can take the over on LeBron combined with the under on Mahomes in the same entry. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. PrizePicks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com. Use promo code SGP to get your 100% instant deposit match up to $100, or go to your App Store and download the app today. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. If we're going to talk about apps, SGPN app, get it. It's our app. We're in the App Store, Google Play. Grab it. It gives you easy access to all our picks, our podcasts. And if you give us an app review, that would be super amazing. All right, we mentioned LeBron. What are the make some odds, LeBron James versus Isaiah Stewart in a MMA fight? Go.
I think you take LeBron based on the elbow, right? It looks like he's got some skills.
No, it's Stewart's young, and he seems to be quite angry. So I would take him, I think. How many times he tried to break free?
And from what we know about MMA, too, is that whoever seems the most angry always does the best, right?
They always make smart moves.
That never goes poorly for anybody. I would take LeBron.
All right, fine. I might take you on that bet.
He's also Not that every NBA player isn't, but he's also in the most ridiculous shape out of any human being I've ever seen, I think.
Yeah, he's one of the most freakish athletes you ever see.
He's the reason, and this isn't a basketball podcast, so I won't get too into it. It's the reason why it's normal to have a 6'8 guard now, right? Like a 6'8 point guard. Because that's what he is. He's a 6'8 point guard.
He's not just 6'8, he's 250 pounds or something, too.
He's freaky. So I would say I'm still taking him. I would take him in just about any sport.
There you go. We've been talking a long time already. How long were we talking before we started recording? Do you remember?
I have our time on the actual podcast right now at 49 minutes.
All right. Maybe we'll do half of the next feature because it's and then maybe we can finish it up next podcast. I know one of the reasons people listen is to hear us plan on the air and to take long dead air pauses while we look things up on the internet. So don't want to let you people down by having this plan off air. So Dan thought it was a good idea. Of course, this is brought on by a super fan, John, question. Dan thought it'd be a good idea to give you guys a little look-see into some fighters, unknown fighters, like under-the-radar fighters in each UFC weight class that are worth keeping an eye on, and therefore maybe someone that you can get a juicy line on before the general public, the filthy common casuals can stick their claws into these people and drive the number in the wrong direction. So, Dan, the fighter in question that John wants to know about, and of course Dan knows about it, is Mohamed Mokaev? Mokaev. So he is the flyweight? Am I right or not?
Yeah, he's flyweight.
Okay. So let's start at flyweights. Tell us about this Mohamed Mokaev guy. Why have I heard so much about him? He's 6-0-1, I think. Mostly fighting in Brave FC, is that right?
Yeah, so he fought in Brave FC, and you're right, he's 5-0-1, which for a lot of people is an alarm bell, right? Like, he hasn't fought very much. You mentioned 4 bouts in Brave FC, including the no contest, which he got. It was due to a groin kick. And all of his other wins are really good, including most recently beating Blaine O'Driscoll, who people might know is he's a Bellator guy and was one of the top guys out of SBG that maybe you probably haven't heard of. So, Mokaev has beaten good competition in a good organization, but a lot of people are going to be like, 6 fights, why should we care, right, about this guy coming over? So let me tell you, he's Dagestani, which is always a good time. You'll know he's got good wrestling. He doesn't live in Dagestan. He is emigrated to England, where he just received his citizenship and is trying to wrestle in the Commonwealth Games, which is England's version of the mini Olympics that also includes Australia, I think. But basically, it's like a mini version of the Olympics with a limited number of countries. I don't know that we are.
Canadian, I mean. We were part of the Commonwealth.
Did you use the royal we there?
You're close enough. You border our.
I know the United States is not in it. But anyway, he's close to qualifying for being a member of their wrestling team. And now that he has citizenship, he can do that. So he is a remarkable wrestler. The other thing is, His record 1,000% does not show how much experience he has, not just because of the wrestling, but because it doesn't show the 22-fight amateur career that he had. He was 22-0 as an amateur.
How old is he? He's only 21, isn't he?
Yeah, he was born in 2000. Wow. Which, okay. Yeah, like already blows your mind. But yes, he was 20. Actually, no, I take that back. He was 23-0 on the regional circuit as an amateur, which includes a whole bunch of runs through the IMMAF, which for people don't know is like an amateur body of MMA that is basically trying to put together like an amateur Olympics just for MMA. And their like goal is to like get it into the actual Olympics and stuff like that too. But they do a world championship and they do a European championship and an Asian championship and all kinds of things like that. And he like won a ton of those in like won a ton of fights in there. Like I think over half of his 23 fights were in IMAAF. And a lot of people are like, are those fights good? Do they have good competition? I will just give you that that's also where Manon Fiorot came from. So Manon Fiorot comes
and loves him some Manon Fiorot. I'm surprised you didn't put her on your list.
Yeah, I didn't put her on her list because she's getting the props that she deserves. But, like, this dude is just, like, he has the experience, and people have been talking about him. And, you know, I know one of the guys who works for Brave CF, and he said that, like, this guy is the real deal. Like, I've seen him up in close and personal fighting. He is it. And I'm excited to see him. I think he's going to trounce a bunch of dudes there. He also trains with the Hickman brothers, which for people who don't know are the guys who run Tiger Muay Thai. Although now I think they have a different name, Jim. I don't think it's Tiger Muay Thai anymore. But he's got good high-level striking now, too, coming along. And at only 21, it's super exciting. He's got some kind of beef with Jake Hadley where they, like, almost booked fights between him and Jake Hadley a whole bunch of times. But this guy is the real deal. Like, when he gets posted, like, if you see a line anywhere close to even on whatever fish they are going to feed him – or even somewhere in the negative twos or threes, like just get on it because like he's going to beat, like there are probably top 10 flyweights right now I'd still pick him against. And they're going to feed him somebody to give him a showcase first. So get in on him as soon as you see a line posted.
Yeah. And the flyweight division is deep enough now that they can actually give him some quote unquote fishes. It's probably looking at the rankings. I run them, my MMA site, MMA-manifesto.com. And it looks like there's about, like into the 30s in the number of flyweights now in the division, so there's should be plenty of guys that he can be fed.
They just nabbed a whole bunch from off of Contender Series too, right?
Right, like, yeah, that too. Yep,
that's where CJ Vergara came from, who just got beat by Ode Osborne. Like you could give him CJ Vergara. You could give him, you know, like heck, you could give him Francisco Figueiredo, who didn't look good, or Victor Rodriguez, or like somebody like that, and he just trounced them. I'd love to see them give him Cody Durden.
he had some stuff to say about Cody Durden too, I think. So
yeah, let's see if Cody Durden can send him back where he came from.
Back to which might be difficult. Is it Britain? Is it Dagestan? Where do you send him? Where do you buy the plane ticket?
He lives in England now, so I would say you're
that's
not gonna
where he came from.
Cody Durden's not going to send him anywhere, so I will assure you that. If they book this dude with Cody Durden, you could also book a hospital stay for Cody Durden.
It's funny, Cody. Cody Colby, maybe it's the name thing.
Now you're going to get me seeing if I can think of anybody who's like...
Cody Garbrandt's kind of eh. He hasn't done anything horrible, but he's kind of, you know...
He's got a fight coming up I'm pretty excited about.
Sure he does. I can't wait to see that happen. All right, so that's a flyweight we should keep an eye on. But why don't we stay on the women's tip since we've been talking about women fighters so much. Do you have a women's strawweight under the radar fighter that... Maybe this could be like a keep an eye on in 2022 type of thing.
Yeah, the women's strawweight fighter who I have penciled in to keep an eye on is Ariane Carnelosi. I think not enough people – I think she's one of those people that people kind of like wrote off after her UFC debut. If you don't remember her UFC debut, she got beat by Angela Hill, and she took the fight on very short
notice. No shame in that.
Yeah, but she also took the fight on very short notice and was semi-competitive in the fight and only lost due to a doctor stoppage when she got her eye, like a cut over her eye. Had it gone to judges' decisions, I still think Angela Hill was winning, but like it's interesting that that's like how it ended. Since then, she knocked out Na Liang, who I was actually pretty high on going into that fight. I know I picked Na Liang.
We probably picked her.
Yeah, I'm positive I did. And then beat the hell out of Estela Nunes recently. She's like come and gotten two finishes since then. I mean, she had 2 years off after the Angela Hill fight. Picked up two wins in 2021. I think she's like nipping at the edge of the top 15 right now without people even realizing kind of how good she is. She's kind of got that like Jessica Andrade build slash punches. Like she's a big heavy puncher and like very stocky even for strawweight. So I'm excited to see how that continues to play. And I think more people should be talking about how good Ariane Carnelosi is.
She's 29, so she just turned 29 last week, a week ago today, actually. Happy birthday. So the time is pretty much now for her, right? Got to get moving on that.
Although I will say this. I think so often we talk about how age works in MMA, right? Especially on the men's side, right? Because the smaller you are, the less time you have. The big heavy guys can fight until they're 45. But, like, I don't think there's enough – I don't know that there's enough history in women's MMA that I really know where their peak is.
That's true.
Like, when you think about how small the sample size is, that there has been, like, a collection of women all fighting at the highest level in the same place. You know, like, I mentioned all those names before, those Marlowe's Konens and Megumi Yabushitas and things like that. All of them fought in, like, weird different organizations and fought bums half the time, and we, like, didn't quite know who actually was great unless they fought each other. And I think now that we have them all in one place, which has only been – I mean, when did Rousey debut? Like, 2012 or 13? But, like, we've only had it for 10 years, and, like, we still do have, like, older women at the top of the sport, right? Like, Lauren Murphy just got a title shot. She's not young. Yeah. You know, I mean, Amanda Nunes is not super young and she seems to be hitting her stride now. So yeah, like I think that like she does need to make moves in 2022 to have like a real impressive career probably, but like also I don't know when like peak women MMA is. And if it's different between the weight classes, I think the jury's kind of still out on that.
No, good point. Who's the Japanese fighter you keep talking about?
Megumi Yabushita.
Okay, yeah. I think I might order that for dinner tonight. Don't you think?
Maybe
rent some videotapes from the place, too. That was a Chinese restaurant, actually, you used to get videotapes from.
Yeah.
Call back.
There was a place where you could get those two things in the same place in the town around me. The Red Apple. Shout out to the Red Apple.
Shout out Red Apple. All right, so that's straw weight. And these are shallow enough weight classes, too, that these people Dan mentioned could very quickly jump up the rankings. All right, flyweight, bit more deeper. Who's your flyweight? There's quite a lot of young fighters in flyweight that you could choose from.
Yeah, and I didn't want to pick Manal Fiorot because, like, I think the UFC is doing just a fine job educating people about who Manal Fiorot
is. She's already ranked and everything,
And, like, if you hit me with this question a year ago, I would have brought her name up, and it would have been a shock to people. The one who I really think deserves way more publicity than she's currently getting is Erin Blanchfield. She's only 21 years old. And she is absolutely positively an amazing grappler. I hate the way they booked her for her next fight. It's like
short notice, but still.
It's such a fucking bummer. I guess it's short notice for her opponent. She was originally supposed to kill Macy Barber for me.
I was very happy about that.
Yeah, I was quite appreciative that she was going to do such a thing.
Montana De La Rosa, actually. She was supposed to fight Montana De La Rosa first and then Macy Barber.
Oh, I didn't even know that Montana De La Rosa was in there. But yes, she was.
No, I think so. It was Barber versus De La Rosa. Then Blanchfield's filling in for De La Rosa. Now
Maverick is filling in for Barber. So the original fight was Barber De La Rosa, and now it's Blanchfield Maverick.
Naturally.
And I hate that happened because they're both like young, fun prospects, and I think Marietta Maverick's got a bright future too. But like, I really like Erin Blanchfield's grappling. Like, at 17 years old, she won an Eddie Bravo Invitational, which is just crazy to think about. Because Eddie Bravo Invitationals, for those who don't follow the grappling world closely, they're not the highest competition. They're not like Abu Dhabi's or they're not like, you know, a world championship. But they, like, invite 16 absolute killers of whatever division they're looking at. And she went in there and not only just, like, won the competition with 16 amazing flyweights, but she beat like black belts on the way in like notable names that you would have heard of before if you followed the sport of grappling. So I think her jiu-jitsu is just going to carry her so far. I mean, she brutalized Sarah Alper in her first fight. She's beaten Kay Hansen before already and Victoria Leonardo, yep, who are both in the UFC. Yep. So, like, she had high-level competition before even coming to the UFC. I'm souped to see what she can do next. And I think more people should be talking about her as, like, the up-and-comer. And people just don't do that right now with Blanchfield because there are so many, like, I mean, they're the Talia Santoses of the division that need talking about as well.
Yeah, her only career loss was to Superfan Jong's girlfriend, Tracy Cortez. That was a split decision loss.
But yeah, and if I remember correctly, too, that's an Invicta fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I scored that for Blanchfield. But nevertheless,
well, that's all that matters then, right?
Nevertheless, my revisionist history is giving Tracy Cortez an extra loss, and Jong can just live with that.
Yeah. Miranda Maverick, I think, is going to beat Blanchfield. What do you think of that?
I don't agree with you. I'll take
Lots of people in the line come out, right?
Yeah, I think the line is already out. I will put I'll put the intern on that, and I will tell you about how much money I'm going to win when I take Aaron Blanchfield in 2 weeks.
Oh, so you can catch – oh, it doesn't matter. You're not going to catch up this year for me, so fine. You can have a win.
December 11th is the date. Do you want to guess the line?
Close to a pick'em.
It's pretty close, yeah. It's Miranda Maverick, -135, and Blanchfield plus
-120, okay.
Blanchfield plus +115.
All right, you get that plus money, dude.
Yeah, so, but that's my point, though, is, like, we're that high on Maverick, and she arguably just beat Maisie Barber. There's no reason to score that fight for Maisie. You have to be.
This is not that kind of podcast. This is not a Maisie Barber podcast.
You're an idiot if you score that fight for Maisie Barber. I will. Yeah. And we are that high on Miranda Maverick, and we're still here talking about how it's nearly even money, and one of us would take Aaron Blanchfield if she's younger than Miranda Maverick.
Yeah, which is wild. All right, women's featherweight / bantamweight. I'll let you do them combined.
So this one was
got two people in it.
This one was really hard for me. Yep. I was trying to find somebody who, like, people would not have heard of. I was trying to pick people who were not ranked and, like, people probably wouldn't be giving enough hype to. The name Jessica Rose Clark stuck out to me, but she, like, does such a good job of hyping herself. But, like, she seems to be filling into the 135-pound class. So I didn't pick her because, like, everybody knows who she is at this point.
Yep.
Who I did wind up picking was Carol Rosa, who I don't think enough people talk about Carol Rosa.
4-0 in the UFC.
She is ranked, but she's 4-0 in the UFC and only ranked 14th, which seems
and
wild.
It's Hossa, is it not?
Oh, God, it's probably Hossa. Probably Carol Hossa.
K-Ho. It's probably K-Ho Hossa.
No, I'm going to go – it's still Carol, but it's Carol Hossa.
Carolyn Hossa Cavido, actually, but go ahead.
Yeah, so Hossa, she's 4-0 in the UFC, and she just got done beating the hell out of Betch Kohea, which, you know, at this point in time, what's a win over Betch Kohea? But
Kohea missed weight, though.
Vanessa
Mello she beat. Vanessa Mello beat a missed weight huge, so she's beating people bigger than her.
Yeah, and she beat Laura Procopio, too, which in retrospect is a nice-looking win. She was booked with Julia Avila like a dozen times, and I would have really liked to have seen that fight. She's been booked with Sajara Eubanks, but that fight got canceled twice. So she hasn't had, like, the big names, which is probably the reason why nobody's talking about her. But damn, did she look good against Betch Kohea. So, yeah, I like Hossa, and she's fighting Sarah McMahon in March, it looks like.
Interesting.
Which would be nice to, like – it would be nice to see her against what, like, a high-level opponent like that. I think in a division that has almost no sleepers because pretty much everybody has to be ranked.
Yep.
Like, she's, like, an interesting person to keep an eye on.
All right, bantamweight, where there's, like, 10 million fighters. Good luck picking one out of here. But we already did flyweight, so we can skip over that. But, yeah, bantamweight, like I said, there's, like, 80 fighters for real in that division.
I went with a person in this one. So a lot of these I went with people – who are virtual unknowns or, like, you've never heard of. But there are, like, one or two divisions where I just pick somebody who is, like, knocking on the door of the top 15, and I feel like they're probably, like, 80% of the MMA-watching population still probably couldn't pick them out of a crowd.
Casuals. Filthy casuals.
Well, and not even filthy casuals, but maybe people who just don't, you know, have the roster memorized and realize how good these people are. But Nate Maness is the name that stuck out to me at bantamweight that, like, yep. people just don't talk about enough. He's 3-0 in the UFC, and he's beaten three really good people. He beat Johnny Munoz, Luke Sanders, and Tony Gravely and finished the last two. He beat Jesse Arnett on the regional circuit, who's a former UFC guy. Like, he is just damn good. With the exception of, like, one weird fluke knockout when he fought one time in Canada, he's undefeated. His wrestling is really good, but also his hands are really good, and they've come around quick. He, like, fights kind of long for his division. He is 5'10", which is, you know, fairly big for a bantamweight. And he's, like, he's just, like, a gritty dude. Like, Tony Gravely hit him so damn hard, and he just walked through a lot of it. So I think Nate Maness is, like, low-key, like, a threat to beat some ranked bantamweights. Like if he was – like, I wouldn't maybe pick him over, like, Adrian Yanez or anything like that, because Adrian Yanez is a guy who, you know, again, wouldn't pick him and put him on this list because he's getting all the publicity he needs. Yep. But, like, if Nate Maness fought Marlon Vera or Song Yadong or Rafael Assuncao, I might, like, have to sit and think about whether or not I would pick the, like, famous ranked guy or I would pick Nate Maness. And that just shows you, like, how good he is in a sense that, like, but we're still not talking about him. Nate Maness is a guy who I think we should all talk about more.
And he's got a lot of good championships on his resume also.
Oh,
Hard Rock MMA, TKO Major League MMA, Warrior FC, and the Bluegrass Brawl.
The Bluegrass Brawl title. That's it. That's all you need to know, really.
And he's got an amazing name, too. Joseph K.Y. Nathaniel Maness. Interesting, eh? K.Y. is the middle name.
But he goes by
Nathaniel's his third. Yes, very interesting.
Absolutely.
All right, let me tell you about Sobat. I don't want to forget about them. Since when does sports betting become so rigid? Sports betting is meant to be social. When I picture betting, I picture bootleggers with mustaches. So basically, Dan, I'm picturing. Tossing bets around in a speakeasy. Sobat is taking the social lineage of betting and putting a modern twist on it by providing a modern platform. Sobat is changing the game with their new product. Head over to sobat.io and create an account to see for yourself. Through their fully functioning free web application, you can access a demo of their app, which will launch next fall. This app includes consensus lines from Vegas, a feed of what other people are betting on, and the ability to send friendly wagers to anyone you know via text, QR codes, and links, among other methods. No money is transacted on the app and is purely competitive. Next time you're with your friends watching sports, turn the dial up a notch. Go to sobet.io and see who can hit the most ridiculous bets. Users have the ability to place bets off Las Vegas odds or generate a bet by changing any metric they want, as long as somebody's on the other side to accept. Let's get back to the roots of betting with Sobet. Go to sobet.io, that's S-O-B-E-T.io today, and join the revolution. All right. How much time we've been talking? Should we keep going, or should we save the rest for next episode? What do you think, Dan?
Let's give them one more.
Okay, featherweight. Who you got in featherweight?
Featherweight I went with, and mostly this is why I wanted to do one more, too, because I've got ones for every other division. I wanted to talk about Melsik Bogdasarian. Like, we've talked about him a couple of times in the show because he's fought a couple of times. Nobody goes under the radar here because we literally talk about every single UFC fight that happens.
Every single fight.
But Melsik
Bogdasarian. Right most of the time.
We've gotten Melsik Bogdasarian right twice because he's damn good. You know, like, he's really good, and we know he's really good. But he's only fought Colin Anglin and Bruno Souza. Bruno Souza, late replacement, which was kind of disappointing. And both of them being, like, you know, distance range kickboxers kind of gave each other too much credit and wound up, like, not engaging all that much, which wound up being really boring. But Melsik Bogdasarian is, like, a very good kickboxer, which people have known for years. Like, he's a very good kickboxer. And he was an underdog on the Contender Series in 2020. Like, you could get him at underdog odds for a Contender Series because most people thought that he was not going to be able to deal with the wrestler he was fighting, which was Dennis Bazooka. And, like, the problem with that assumption was we hadn't seen anybody try to wrestle Melsik Bogdasarian, and he dealt with the wrestling incredibly well. He continues to deal with the wrestling incredibly well. So, for me, as far as Melsik Bogdasarian is concerned, like, he is a guy who I think people have written off because his last performance was boring and we're not sure whether or not he can consistently defend the wrestling. But, like, he's shown he kind of can, and he's got crazy knockout power. And again, that division's stacked. You could talk about 30 people. kind of like Nate Maness, who are just outside of the rankings. And Melsig Bagdasarian is not that. He's not just barely out of the rankings. He's got a lot of work to do. But he's a name that you should keep an eye on, because if he shows that he can stuff wrestlers, there aren't a lot of people who are going to want to stand and trade with this dude.
No. Professional boxer, professional championship kickboxer. So, yeah, definitely a tough dude, and we've made some money off of him with our picks so far. So, all right, so we'll put a pin in it there. On Sunday, we'll come back. Lightweight, welterweight, middleweight, light heavyweight, heavyweight. Yeah, heavyweight's going to be interesting. Actually, heavyweight would have been more interesting a few years ago. Now there actually is some decent up-and-coming guys.
There's not a lot, though. I looked at it. No, I was kind of bummed out by the list, and then maybe I'll change it by Sunday, but I wound up picking somebody who I think a lot of people will have known of anyway. He's more like in the Nate Maness category than in the Melsig Bagdasarian one.
Tanner Boser. Did you see the Tanner Boser news that came out recently?
Oh, my God. I'm so glad you brought this up. This
yes.
is a great
you
spot.
You want to talk about it?
This is a great spot to end the podcast. We could talk about it for like 3 minutes. That meme is him. It's actually
yes.
him. So for those of you who did not see his post on Twitter, first of all, I suggest going back and reading it, because – there's this post of like a whole bunch of like three kids in like tap out era shirts. I think one's the Rule Your Universe, RYU, is the name of the company
yep.
that used to be popular in like the early 2000s for people who were in MMA. But they're like just like decked out in like early 2000s, late 90s MMA looking gear. And each of them has like an MMA glove on, but they're clearly like not going to train anywhere. And they're these three kind of chunky kids. And this meme has existed for years and years and years and years. And it's always like got a caption like, you know, I've got my black belt in UFC, or I learned Muay Thai under the Gracies, or like, you know, like it's always something where they like they're calling these kids out for being like posers and not
yes.
real. And one of them's Tanner Boser, UFC heavyweight
yep.
Tanner Boser. And he
19
just, like,
years old at the time.
He just revealed it to be himself. And I don't know if you heard this either. I don't know if you saw the follow-up, Jeff, so maybe I'm giving you this information. But he also revealed the kid in the middle now.
Yep.
So he's the one all the way to the left. The kid in the middle is yep. his brother.
Right, yeah.
Who is a
yep.
purple belt right. in jiu-jitsu and 1-0 in MMA.
Yep.
And then the other guy is like the lead singer of like a famous
or metal a drummer or something, yeah.
Semi-famous metal band. So like it's funny, cuz this meme has been around forever and everybody's seen it and used it to like point out like what a poser would say. But it's like they're not even posers. They're like yeah. they're real MMA fighters in the end of the day. It is just so cool that he like after all of these years of it existing and him knowing it's out there, just like yeah. revealed it to be himself, like chose this to be the time. I freaking love it. It's one more reason to love Tanner Boser.
Yep. There you go. All right. So we'll come back on Sunday. Oh yeah. We're actually going to give you some bets on Sunday, right? We're going to give you bets for Bellator 272, which is a card that you're quite excited about, right?
It's a Bellator card that I will say I'm not bummed about the matchmaking, and that's enough to say, yes, I'm excited about it.
The main event is for the Bantamweight Championship, Sergio Pettis versus former champ, who never lost his title, right? He got injured.
Just he relinquished it willingly.
Kyoji Horiguchi. So we'll give you picks for that. We got Kai Kamaka the Third's on there, former UFC fighter. Emmanuel Sanchez versus Jeremy Kennedy. So J.J. Wilson, Alfie Davis. So we can give you some picks for that. Do you want to give any picks out for LFA 119? Do you think or not? It's for the middleweight championship. Josh Silveira versus Jared Rebel is the main event for the middleweight championship. And then the co-main event is for the bantamweight championship.
I'd be down to give out picks on Sunday if the lines come out. But as we proved okay. last time, when I try to jump the gun and give LFA odds out beforehand, I'm like, this will probably be close to an even fight. And they like book one guy as -400, and then that's the guy I picked. And
yeah.
then I feel like an idiot because I'm like, don't bet on it. I just said it's close to a coin flip, and the guy I picked is -400. So I prefer not to give them out without the lines. But Bellator's got lines out already. A whole bunch of books have listed lines for pretty much every fight on there. So I will have my research done and ready to give them you some good picks.
Good. And I guess we should probably go because Dan's kids are tearing his house apart. I can hear it. They're going crazy in the background, Dan.
I can hear them upstairs. They're clearly getting into something. So,
or maybe you want to stay on the air a little bit longer. let mommy take care of it. All right. Like I said, Sunday we'll be back. Happy Thanksgiving to all you filthy Americans that are listening. Until then, make sure you follow us on Twitter. Jeff Fox Writer. He's Gumby Vreeland. If you have any other topics or questions you would like to hear covered, maybe not necessarily on Sunday's show, but we got some other dead UFC weeks coming up around the Christmas holidays, end of the year. So hit us up on Twitter or hit us in the SGPN Slack channel, in the fight channel. We're always in there chatting about fighting normally. You can hit us up in there also. Reader stuff, sportsgamblingpodcast.com and MMA-manifesto.com. Yes, that is it. So until Sunday, I will remain Juicy Jeff Fox. He will remain Daniel Gumby Vreeland, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.